Welcome to Be Simply. This is she, and I want to thank you for joining us in this moment. Tonight, we're going to talk about jealousy and how we can identify where maybe that's been a part of our life, or we've been on the other side of the coin receiving someone when they're jealous, and how to make adjustments internally so you can meet every moment with greater awareness, a lot more ease, and feel deeper sense of self-worth and knowing that you are A-okay. You don't need anything external. So with that being said, that deeper sense of self-worth, we're going to talk about what is jealousy and how can we really identify where it's rooted. And interestingly enough, it can be rooted deeper than you think early on in your life, this lifetime, or if you're one of thinking that you've been here before prior to getting here. This emotion is really ends up ultimately being very destructive. And if we define what jealousy is, basically it's an emotion associated with your mind, thoughts, feelings that are rooted in your inner dialogue, insecurity, fear of loss, maybe abandonment, anxiety, thinking that you're less than, that's part of the insecurity, helplessness. And over the course of time, this can be very damaging to self. Ultimately, that's the root of the damage. In addition, the world you participate in, because if you're the one that's had a history of being jealous or feeling jealous, you might notice that this becomes destructive to relationships. It's hard to build a relationship on trust if there's this questioning all the time that's going on. So this during this segment, we'll talk about how to identify when there's a reason to question, but also, more importantly, how to quiet the anxiety, how to build up your self-worth, how to let go of this mechanism that is like your security blanket, keeping you from authentically relating to others. And of course, it's scary, especially if we feel like we have some hidden insecurities that we're not completely sure of how to deal with. In addition, this somewhat ties into envy, and to just look at what envy is in the sense of wanting something. You know, jealousy comes up in those interpersonal relationships, or then it starts morphing into that energy of envy when you want something that someone else has, and it's for no real good reason other than this emotion comes up and you feel envious. And you could say it jokingly. This is why if you want to really understand your own psyche, you start listening to the words you use, listening to the words that other people use. And these are embeds to what I would call programs that we have adopted, belief systems that we've adopted that lead us to our way of life. So we might say, I'm so jealous of you that you get to go on that vacation to Tahiti, or I'm so jealous that you get to buy a house and I don't. When you use those type of words, it's linking back to something and to an emotion. In addition, if we're feeling that envy, where that's sometimes a little bit more quiet, it's an emotion that comes up, we're not orating it, and it can feel quite dark sometimes, that envy that we might have of another. And because it feels dark, meaning that maybe it has some maniacal feelings with it, that we don't know how to express it, we don't know how to reconcile it, and we don't know what to do with it. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to give you some practices that you can bring into your day-to-day life that can assist you in finding harmony within your relationships with yourself and others. And you can try it out. And then if you're inspired, let me know what you find and what works and what doesn't. I always love feedback. You can always feel free to email me. So the aspect of harming, what this is the result, that envy causes harm, jealousy causes harm, and when we are in this place of destructive behavior to ourselves and others, it's hard to have a life that feels calm and relaxed. It doesn't mean that you won't have turbulence, but if you add this like filling onto your life, it creates a lot of wasted energy on things that you don't need to have occur. Now, sometimes jealousy can stem up because trust has been broken in a situation, or trust has been broken in your past history. And then when a situation meets you and you realize, oh, that is rising up again from my past, that's when you start to express this emotion of jealousy or envy or both because of this past wound that you might have had and not realized. And sometimes, even when I was preparing for the show and reading up on some articles, that this aspect of jealousy can even be rooted when a sibling arrives. So think about how deep, and that even gave me some wisdom because I'm the middle child with my sister and I, and sometimes our dynamic when we were younger, and feeling that, and then later on in my life with friends or into my adulthood, feeling people feeling jealous and not knowing what to do with that emotion. So we are going to talk about this from both sides and how to be objective with it, how to move away from it if you're not the one being jealous, but also to have compassion and kindness for all the characters on the set that are involved. When we let this go too far, and it ultimately will destroy our relationship with ourselves and others. So you can think of it as a domino effect. If you're, let's say, example, you're in a relationship with someone, an intimate relationship with someone, and you start to be triggered by an old wound, meaning they haven't done anything, they haven't given you any red flags. We'll talk about that later in this segment. They haven't done anything, you're moving along, you guys like each other, you're maybe falling in love or you're already in love, and all of a sudden you become triggered. And so you revert to this tactic of storytelling in your head, and from there you start feeling that emotion of jealousy. And when jealousy arrives, you start doing silly things that are non-productive. You start maybe snooping on your partner. You start checking up on your partner. You start questioning them. And imagine the vibration that's coming out of you if that's where you're sitting. If all of a sudden you're in this question, accusation, and controlling sense of way of being, that's really going to impact how you guys can relate to each other. And over time, it's going to repel one another. Now, if you had two people that have jealous tendencies, meaning they have wounds that aren't healed and they come forward, and then there's this tumultuous nature to the relationship. So it can be really passionate and then jealous and angry and come together and apart and together and apart. And whew, it's an exhausting adrenal ride. Over time, it's just going to go downhill really rapidly. So if you feel like you're in one of those situations right now, you might sit your partner down or reach out to me. I'm happy to help a little bit guide you guys through the process, but sit down and say, wow, we have jealous tendencies. We want to address this. Or tell your partner, I want to address this. I don't want it to become a problem in our relationship. So I'd like to talk about it. Have transparency, communication. And this is oftentimes the reason this comes up, is because we start storytelling and we don't communicate to find out what's truly going on. So we tell a dialogue, we create a screenplay of a situation, and the person you have made up all these stories about is an innocent bystander for all intents and purposes. Then what happens is you create the story you believe to be true. The innocent bystander suddenly becomes guilty, and it snowballs, and then it gets weirder and weirder as you go. So you get the idea. So let's have you pause for a moment and just sit and reflect on the relationships that you've had in your life that you've either received jealousy from someone else or envy. Like I said, it's a little bit different when someone wants something that you have, but it could, you know, if you've never experienced jealousy, meaning in an interpersonal relationship, maybe you've received envy where people are envious of what you have or what you've done or what you've accomplished. But sit and see where you have felt those emotions, or if you've sent them out into the world, where you've sent them out through the mind, through the heart, through your words, through your actions. Just want you to self-reflect, not with judgment, just to really get a pulse on where you meet this topic in this lifetime, and where there might be some room for improvement where you've had this experience. And if you've met it on any side of the coin and haven't done any inner work around it, trust me, it's still there. And it's good to evaluate self-introspection so that the next time you meet it, you could do it with a little bit more grace. So as we take a pause from me orating away, we're going to listen to a little Fate and Shadow by Random Rab. This is from his new album, Awoke. And just allow this to be your little meditative recapitulation of past experiences with jealousy and or envy. And what we'll do is I'll have you breathe in and out of the solar plexus. This is sometimes where that emotion gets stirred, or in the heart. But just breathe into the stomach region, breathe up through the heart, and then exhale gently out the mouth. Allow this to be the thing that guides you, the breath that guides you, as you reflect on moments in your life where you've met these emotions. And then we'll come back, we'll dive in a little bit deeper. So welcoming you back to here and that contemplation, that recapitulation of where you have participated in jealousy or envy in this lifetime. And again, not to judge it, not to feel shame about it. However, to know that that situation gives you a lot of information about yourself. It gives you a lot of information as to how you can reapproach life a little bit differently in the next. So we're going to dive in from there, like to look at that. And if you had to ask yourself, what was going on with myself that allowed me to be in a jealous relationship? What was going on internally with my own sense of wholeness that put me in that position? That's really the root of this, okay? So if you've been a jealous person, there's something internally that's keeping you from feeling whole, knowing that you don't need anything external to have a relationship externally, whether it's a friendship, whether it's an intimate relationship, whether it's a relationship in a family dynamic, meaning mother, father, siblings, extended family, colleagues, all those things. When we bring in this little weapon, and I'll call it a weapon, jealousy or envy, it makes things very problematic. And it makes it really hard for people to navigate that emotion. Having, as mentioned earlier, been on the receiving end of that emotion from time to time, it's really a little bit disorienting because you don't know what to do with it. You don't know how to help the situation, but we're going to give you a little tool that I wish I knew way back then to assist and not make situation worse, you know, not battle it or combat it, to really take the high road. So the cause of this, I've been leading in gently, is a low self-worth somewhere within your being where you're not feeling fully confident, you're not feeling fully in your power, and you're grasping, reaching out. I've shared that word many times in other segments, that you're grasping for something external to make you feel better. It's like filling up on a glass of wine or filling up on a box of chocolates or filling up on sex or shopping, any of those things. Those are ways people do in the material, granular way to fill themselves up so they don't feel empty. They're wondering, gosh, I don't feel whole. We do this with that emotion of jealousy that, wow, I just am not feeling safe in this relationship. I don't trust it. So I'm going to start to create chaos. So if we bring it back to self and say, wow, I understand that I have a low self-esteem, and how am I going to increase my sense of self-worth? And that examination and what you just touched on, what you just witnessed in that recapitulation, is where you start. And we're not going to be able to break it all down right now in this segment, because then we would have to stop and really look at that. However, you can start to contemplate it. And I really, really recommend that you go back to it several times. Keep revisiting it in your mind's eye, like rewinding a tape and then playing it fast forward. Again, try not to bring in judgment, not bring in the emotions again. And if you're having difficulty with it and want to talk to me about it, happy to help be that objective mirror to show you maybe a different lens to look at it differently. When you do that, when you keep examining it, you will start to see, oh, wow, this is what was going on. And then you start to realize what the need is and where you can get that for yourself and start providing it to yourself so that you're not having the expectation for someone else. So this is all it is. You have an internal need, you have a wound, or both, and you start to wreak havoc in your external world and your internal mind and heart emotional center, so to circumvent having to do the healing or having to get what you need. It's that simple. You're just, there's something that you need, and once you find out what it is, then you can get it. And it's not a bottle of whiskey, it's not filling up on going, on a escape mission somewhere else so you don't have to deal with your life. It's really about getting something internal and really nourishing yourself on a regular basis with that. So the first question you want to ask yourself as you've examined, and if you're still feeling a lot of emotion maybe around a relationship or how you participated in, and that might mean you need to let it be for a while, or you just might need a little helper to help you walk through it so you can move through it. These things have a way of healing when they're supposed to. They have a way of transforming when they're supposed to. The people come up on the set to show you what needs to happen when it's supposed to. So are you willing to take responsibility? Are you willing in this moment to say, hey, I want to take responsibility for this, and I'm ready to, and I'm ready to do the work. So if that's the case, then you say, okay, well, I typically am a jealous person. I'm going to take responsibility for that. Or I'm very envious. I'm envious of everyone around me. I'm going to take responsibility for that. And I'm going to start to change that. I'm going to work at it. Or you might say, wow, I tend to just date jealous types. Or I tend to have relationships with people that are envious of me or jealous of me. And I'm ready to take responsibility for that. And I'm really ready to change it. So again, there's not one person that's wrong, one person that's right. It takes two people to co-create the situation and play their role, just like a screenplay. So that's the analogy we'll use. So once you're ready to take responsibility, then that's when the work begins. If you're not ready, that's fine. At least maybe you've seen some things, and maybe you can listen to the rest of this segment and make note of them. And then when you're ready, you'll know. You'll know when you're authentically ready to make a shift. It's kind of like someone's ready to have a different looking body, but they're not really ready to adjust their lifestyle to keep themselves more healthy, more balanced, exercise, do all the things that it takes to have a healthy physical temple. It's not about a crash diet. It's about really being ready to have those changes and make those changes. So it's a lifetime way of being versus just a 10-day crash course in something and then your world's changed. That's not how it sticks. That's not how it stays. So from there, we're going to take another short pause. I want you to meditate a little bit on being ready and being still with yourself and looking into those nooks and crannies a little bit deeper, looking into that relationship or the situation or the repetitive things that you're jealous about or envious about. Bring that back, just set it on the table in front of you. As we listen to this piece, I just want you to just stare at it, just look at it, and see if you can notice your patterns, your role, what, how you've shown up, and what it looks like. We are going to listen to a little infinite love. And as you do this, you can just ease into that this is an infinite process. Be gentle with yourself. Be compassionate with yourself. And know that there's no rush. We'll all keep moving through infinity at our own rate and our own speed. So keep a little smile on your face and go easy on yourself. It doesn't have to be so serious. So take a deep breath, breathing in and out of your heart center.
Thank you.
Taking a gentle breath and bringing it back to here, just connecting to you a little bit deeper, connecting to my voice. And so you had a chance, hopefully, breathing in and out, just to examine it, really look at it. And this I find to be a beautifully helpful practice, to look at our actions in the past, especially when we're a little distant from them. You know, if you've had a failed marriage or relationship, anything like that, when you distance yourself from what went down, you can see things a little bit more objectively. And if you keep going down the road through the lead up to that moment, you can start to see objectively where things went south, where the healing was needed, what was the catalyst to create the eruption, and not to feel like, gosh, I wish I would have done it differently. It all happened how it's supposed to be, but that you can take this wisdom into the next and start to shift how you show up. It's a choice in every moment how we want to show up. So I led you to examine it before I gave you the clues on how to examine it, because I wanted you just to see where you're at with it. And as I go through what to examine, we'll talk about some of the things that might have come up, and we'll gnaw at our mind and our ego, because it's natural. It's part of how we're built that we'll contemplate these things. The key is here not to say you can't have a conversation with yourself about something, woulda, coulda, shoulda. However, it's important to self-reflect and then put it down. Don't beat yourself up over it, because that's where then we get to these more extreme behaviors like jealousy or envy, and they become just a way of our living and we don't know how to live without them. And that's because we spent too much time in emotions that were not serving to our own inner and outer evolution. So what to examine? So you've said potentially, I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to take responsibility and do things a little bit differently, is to start to ask yourself, if you've been the person that's jealous or envious or both, what you are trying to control, or if you're on the receiving end of this, why do you want to be controlled? And that's a big one to digest. So where you want to control things externally, identify where you're wanting to try to control things externally, and asking yourself, if you're on the receiving end of this, why do I want to be controlled? In addition, the people that are on the receiving end of this, you need to look and say, where do I try to control things in my life? Because that's where a passive aggressive behavior starts rising up. If you're in a relationship or a situation that's very controlling, you might start to withdraw for self-preservation and then inadvertently turn around and do subtle things to be the aggressor back in the situation or in other situations. So it becomes very complex all really rapidly as these things get exasperated. So start off asking yourself where you want control. Ask yourself why you want control. And once you ask yourself that question, I always love to gently tell the people I work with, we're not in control. The universe is in chaos. We have a choice in every moment how we want to show up when we meet the divine orchestration that's unfolding in front of us. Sometimes that orchestration is horrific. Sometimes that orchestration is amazing. And we decide how we want to show up in that moment. You don't have to go to predetermine emotions just because something shows up. You don't have, I'll use an extreme of death, because usually everyone has an emotion about death. So when you meet death for yourself and or others, doesn't mean that you have to go through all the same emotions that are written right now as we know it. You can meet it differently. That's a choice. You can meet your own death in joy. You can meet someone else's in joy. It is a choice. Or you can meet it in sadness, sorrow, mourning, longing, and grasping. It's a choice. Every moment, that's what we have. So you may not have control, but you do have a choice. So once you start to realize and map out and write these out, if you know why and where, you should at least know where. Why, you know, it's kind of a rhetorical question. The why is fear-based, fear mainly. So just say where, And then we're going to go to the root there. What do you really need? And this is the key, because when we grasp externally, that's when we're trying to fill ourselves up with something. We're trying to hold on to something so it doesn't go away, doesn't leave us. So what do you really need? What do you want? And these are two different things. A need and a want are different things. But ask yourself, what do you really need? And this will come to your root needs as we know it on planet Earth: food, water, shelter, and currency. Yes, currency, because it's part of the system, how it's made up. What do you really need? This can create all of these emotions just because you might feel like you're not going to have food. You're not going to be provided for. You might be abandoned and left alone. You might have thought when your sister was born that you were going to be left alone and you would starve. These are how primal these mechanisms are within us, and then they get exasperated into these emotions. Nothing to hold on to forever. Once you see it, recognize that you can let it go. What do you want? And that's a different than a need. A want are things that you're not really required to have to sustain your life force to live. So that might be that you want to have a relationship. But what do you really want? Do you want a relationship that's healthy, or do you want a relationship that's tumultuous? It's a choice. You decide. So what do you really want? What picture do you want to paint for your life outside of the basic necessities, food, water, and shelter, and currency? And those basic needs, once they're met, then you add that layer of want on there. Hopefully, it's a balanced layer, but where they might be self-indulgent, you'll learn the lessons of those when you're ready to do so. With each thing that we receive in every moment, there's a reason that we're experiencing it. There's a reason we are playing our part in this giant web called the universe. So be easy on yourself, be authentic to yourself, and be true to yourself as to what you really want. When we start to really communicate, that's our next thing. So first you want to examine control, and then what you want and need. And then when we start to communicate these things, we start to, guess what? Regain our power, regain our sense of wholeness. We realize, oh, I just needed to know that I wasn't going to be abandoned. And guess what? I can't abandon myself. I'm here. I'm going to be in this suit till I'm not anymore, meaning your physical body. I can't abandon myself, so I can always rely on me. Why would I ever want to put all my eggs in a basket and rely on someone else? That's going to put me in a precarious situation. This is where that word self-reliance comes in. So, communication will begin by empowering yourself, by using your voice. In addition, by communicating what you need and what you want, you'll start to then take action and become self-reliant. In addition, you will start to practice speaking the truth. That means that oftentimes I'll meet people and they're thinking one thing in their head and another thing's coming out their mouth. I'm experiencing their communication from their mind and their mouth simultaneously. It can be very confusing for me and for the person that's doing this. So if you bring that into alignment to really say, okay, I'm going to be true to me. I'm going to express what I'm feeling. I'm going to express my emotions, even if it makes me vulnerable, and see what happens. That might mean telling your partner, I've been through a lot of rocky relationships. I might get triggered, and I'm feeling vulnerable right now. I'm being triggered right now, and I'm just letting you know it's not you. This is my stuff, but I'm letting you know if I'm acting a little wacky, bring humor in, this is why. And that allows the other person to what? Have compassion instead of meeting your jealousy, meeting your envy. You might say to your friend, you know what? I'm super envious of you. I feel like really icky right now because I want what you have, and I know that's not cool, but I really feel that way and I want to express it to you. All of a sudden, you can say, wow, okay, let's talk about this, and we can move through it in a relationship. There's a greater level of trust that will be built because authentic emotions are being expressed. Really a powerful place to be with yourself and another. And you'll be surprised because, again, it takes two people to have this experience. And if both of you show up willing to communicate and authentically express your needs, your wants, your emotions, and vulnerability, a lot of expansion will happen, and both people can opt out of the role of jealousy and envy. from there, after you've practiced communicating, speaking your truth, and this is a practice, you will start to find ease and freedom in all forms of communication. You will be able to really not even think twice about saying what's true for you in that moment. And that will help bring in this self-worth, this self-reliance. And it doesn't mean that you're not aware of what you're saying. It doesn't mean that you don't consider your friends' feelings and talk to them in a way that's not going to be harsh. You know, be mindful with your speech, but you have free will to speak up. The other emotion when you were examining where this is coming from is that shame. You might feel disempowered because of one moment in time and space, or many, that you weren't that you were insufficient. And so this is why we'll grasp or we want things. We'll feel like, oh, if I had that, then I would be worthy. And, or gosh, if I didn't do that, I could have achieved this. And look, they have that. Why can't I have that? Why can't I be like that? Why can't I do it like that? Why can't I be a professional basketball player? Whatever it might be. Yet, we're not willing to meet ourselves where we're at in that moment. So when we're dealing with that feeling of insufficient, you can start to look at and think about where to fuel up when that emotion rises up. I mentioned this earlier, is where do I need to fuel up so I don't create chaos in a relationship? I'm not feeling super sufficient in my basketball skills, so I'm going to go start shooting hoops. I may realize that I'm not such a great basketball player and that I really don't like basketball when I'm out there, but when I was out there on the court, I realized that someone was playing handball on the courts next door. I picked up a game and I really enjoy that sport and it connected and I was very natural at it, feeling empowered because you took a risk to go explore what you were envious about or jealous of, realizing you didn't like it but found something else. Or you might completely realize, well, I'm not going to be that, but I do have a passion for X, Y, and Z. Why don't I spend all this wasted energy on cultivating my painting skills or studying for my exams or cultivating relationships that are healthy and whole versus wanting to perpetuate these tumultuous emotions in my heart and my mind. So that leads us to the redirect. Where do we want to put the behavior? And this is a great practice. This is where we'll bring in, I'm going to give you a clue to one of the practices at the end. But when we redirect our energy, so if we see ourselves, oh, I'm getting jealous, then we can bring in a kindness. Rather than say, I wish I could go to the Bahamas, I'm really jealous that they're going to the Bahamas, you can rephrase it and say, wow, that's so amazing. My friend gets to go to the Bahamas. I'm so happy for them. Good for them. That's exciting. That feels like a much better energy field to send out into the world. It's a better thought process to send out into the world. It's a better thing to orate to your friends, to share with your friends. And it may not completely feel right there, but when you get in the habit to really see, wow, I am excited. You still may have to authentically admit that you wish you could go to the Bahamas, but what does that mean then? If you want to go to the Bahamas, you need to take action. Take action meaning saving for a trip to Bahamas, earning the money, saving, buying the ticket, and going on the trip, rather than wasting this energy. Gosh, they get to go and being upset about it. So self-reliance, that's where we lead in from there. When we redirect the behavior, we come into self-reliance, meaning that we take responsibility. If you want to go on a trip, then save for it. Be inspired. If you want to run a marathon, train for it and run for the marathon. Whatever you might want to do, take action and redirect the jealousy and the envy towards the action, to the outcome that you're admiring and wishing that you were meeting when your friend or loved one is meeting it. Moderation with what you fuel up on. So when you redirect the behavior and redirect it to kindness or achieving a goal, be moderate with it. You don't want to go to excess. Oftentimes, if you're exhibiting a lot of jealousy, especially in a relationship, and you realize, wow, I'm afraid I'm going to be abandoned, and they can't really do anything about it. I just need to find ways to fill myself up and do things that I love and know over time that I'm going to start to unravel why I'm worried about being abandoned and feel secure within myself that I'm the only thing that I need, that's going to probably change the dynamic in your relationship, intimate relationship, considerably, and in your family dynamics. As you take that space to create that moderation with that exploration, moderation with the things that you bring in to bring yourself into that whole being, so you feel just really satisfied yet not compulsive with a new obsession. So what I would like to do right now is, before we go into judgment, this is a big key, is I want you just to think about control, communication, and that feeling of insufficiency and where you're ready to redirect the behavior. I just want you to see if you can narrow in on one aspect of yourself where you can start redirecting your behavior from jealousy or envy into something productive, and what you want that energy to feed into, something internal, internal landscape that's going to net result be a better you on the exterior landscape. When we come back, we will finish up with some practices talking about judgment, and we're going to listen to Here to Hear Nobody's a Victim, because this is the reality. I like to play this one, but it's really appropriate with jealousy because the wild stories that come out of the mind when people are jealous and envious of others. So let's let that be for a moment and just be with yourself. Look at where you'd like to start to redirect, where you're going to take responsibility within yourself, redirect the energy within yourself, and see what happens, what bubbles up as an inspiration. You might have to do this exercise several times before you get to that aha, but start to see, gosh, this is what I want to do to shape, shift this energy within me. Take a deep breath in and out. Another full body breath.
Some the world is solely up to you. Your eyes have all the power to transform what they see. If they focus on the world, who the hell is gonna see the peace?
So rise up, people, oh, and see with the eyes of your soul. Let's rewrite history, erase all the lies we have told.
Cause Nobody is a victim here.
Emancipate yourself from mental slavery like Bamorn.
Nobody is a victim here. Nobody is a victim here. Nobody is a victim.
Emancipate yourself. Emancipate.
Like a prisoner who won't use the key, it would rather be enslaved and to set itself free. It locks itself in memories and complaints about now. I was talking, screaming, so it can't hear the sound.
So raise your voices and sing from the silence within. There is nothing more powerful than a people who know.
Emancipate yourself from mental slavery like Bamorn.
Nobody is a victim here. Nobody is a victim here. Nobody is a victim.
Emancipate yourself. Emancipate.
Victim of the church, not a victim to the beatings I contributed to your birth, not a victim of society, a victim of the grave,
not a victim, not a victim,
there ain't no victim in this place,
not a victim.
think.
What you think?
Nobody is a victim here. Nobody is a victim here. Nobody is a victim here. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery like a party. Nobody is a victim here. Nobody is a victim here. Nobody is a victim here. Emancipate yourself.
So that was Here to Hear, Nobody is a Victim. So in this jealousy envy game, no one really is a victim. There's no reason to point fingers, realizing that this is rooted in a wound or a need or a want, but typically rooted in a wound that's related to fear and causes us to do nutty things. Over time, if we allow this to get out of control, it's going to be destructive to self and others. This can result into many types of compulsive disorders. This can result in repeated anxiety and stress and a lack of self-worth, a lack of knowing that you are a complete human being. You have a choice in every moment to access your full potential, work on your full potential, and continue to be willing to look at what arrives, what shows up, and what do you react to, and how do you want to show up. You can do that with complete oblivion, you can do that with complete ignorance, or you can do it with complete awareness. When you meet it with awareness, the dance is much different. It's richer, it's yummier, it has a lot more complexity to it, yet it has a lot more things and emotions and opportunities to meet yourself at a deeper place and to meet your significant other or family member or child or sister or brother in a different place that's not superficial. It's not based on simple things that we're looking to fill ourselves up with. To ignore your beauty, that's really, you're just ignoring your beauty. So to give you or leave you with some opportunities to do the practice, I want to talk a little bit about judgment. That it's really key if you're committed to working on being on the receiving end or the giving end of jealousy and or envy, that you drop the judgment of yourself and others. Stop the blame game. It's just a no-win situation. You're just going to go back and forth over and over and over and over the same thing, and there's no resolution. It's just a perspective. It's two people showing up and doing a dance that's not self-serving to anything, not to self or others, and it's best just to let it go. So drop the judgment. Just let it go. Every time you see it come up, just imagine yourself dropping it on the earth and say, I'm not going to participate in that. I'm not going to participate in the conversation. I'm going to move on, and I'm not going to blame anyone. I'm just going to take responsibility. And to say that to yourself, I'm taking responsibility for my part. You know, you don't go in and do a two-step without saying, hey, I would like to two-step with you, and you have a partner, and you're both doing the two-step, and you can't say, hey, I didn't want to do the two-step. You asked to do the two-step. You asked to do the tango. You both participated. So the practices, what we're going to leave you with is the judgment that I just talked to, flip it, say what is so. And this is where we get into those red flags where you need to listen. I don't want you to go out there and just think, oh, I'm being jealous, I need to take responsibility, they're a sociopath, and I'm just still going to have a relationship with them because I'm just jealous. That's not what I'm encouraging you to do. I want you to still look at the red flags. If someone's manipulating you, if they're abusive, if they're controlling, look at the red flags. Don't judge it. Just say what's so. Identify it. Or if you're showing up that way, identify it and then listen to what's unfolding. Say what is so. And rather than judging it, just see, wow, here I am again in an abusive relationship. Here I am again in a codependent relationship. I don't want to be here. So guess what? I'm going to talk to this person, see if we can work on this together. If not, I'm going to exit stage right, left. I'm going to go someplace else for a while and maybe do a little bit more inner work before I engage again to see if I can show up differently. So that's what's available when you don't judge. You have a moment to take responsibility, look at the red flags objectively, and decide what you want to do. Then exercise your voice. Really let yourself and others know what you want and need. Don't go into that little dance of indecision, I don't know, don't want to commit, because you're a fear of the control games that have unfolded before. Really state what you need. If it can't be met, that's a huge sign. If you need something in a relationship or in a work relationship, a family relationship, and it can't be met, and you can't give it to yourself, then probably needing to find out how that's going to happen someplace else. Then let go of control. Redirect your energy, and that's where we get into that taking responsibility. When you notice you're trying to control a situation, ask yourself, what's going on? What am I doing right now? Why do I need control? Take responsibility, even if you have to give yourself a timeout and reapproach. It's a beautiful practice to really understand what's going on internally. Sometimes you can work through it. It's happening. You're feeling like you need to control something, an emotion's being ignited, but you don't want to burn the village down today. So you decide, I'm going to just ride this out. I'm going to do my best. And then later on, I'm going to contemplate it. I'm going to reflect on it and see how I can do it different. Then the final practice is to stop the storytelling. Stop making up imaginary scenarios in your head. Don't even go there. If you're about to talk about someone, if you're about to make a story up in your head, stop. If they're not there to tell you what it is from their perspective, from their vantage, from first person, let it go. You have no business creating a story about someone. If you want to create a story about yourself, go right ahead. But keep it simple. Less stories, the better. And then finally, if you can really understand what it means to take responsibility on both sides of the coin, to have compassion and love for yourself and others, to be easy with yourself. It doesn't mean that you have to enable anyone, but just to really be like, wow, they're really suffering, they're hurting, they've been jealous and compulsive and obsessive with me. I can't stand this relationship because it would be enabling it, but I'm going to take responsibility by leaving this relationship. This is just kind of give you as wayfinding mechanisms to see where it can go from here. The sooner you identify these things, as soon as you see those jealousy flags rise up, that's the moment that you can take responsibility. So, if inspired, take some time with yourself, especially if this is a topic that's near and dear to your heart, something that you internally don't even verbalize to anyone because you're ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed. Just really get to the deep roots of why this wound is there and where you can take responsibility for it. And then have the courage to speak to those that you love that it's going on so they can help you. Don't make it a victim dance. Make it, wow, I'm taking responsibility and I'm ready to move forward. And I'm sharing my vulnerability right now because I want to move past this. Don't rely on anyone to get you from point A to point B. Become self-reliant so that you have complete self-worth in yourself and know what you want in your life. You know what you need, you know what you want, and you can articulate it. It's a beautiful place to be. So with discernment and great knowing, we're going to exit out with a beautiful piece by Ann Heaton. And as you do, just sit and just take a, okay, that was a lot. Just take a moment and say, I do want to examine this, and that's where I'm going to start, and then I'll see where I want to move from there. If you have any questions or you want some assistance, please feel free to email me at s@suzannetoro.com or suzannetoro@gmail.com. Both work and go to the same place. Until next time, this is She signing out with a full heart, a soft gaze, a bright smile, a deep bow, and a namaste. Be simply.
Querida Renata, te amo mucho porque tú vives out loud, como decimos en inglés, with your married boss, you're such a temptress. By the end of the season, he'll love you best. You're irresistible sinvergüenza. Paloma, how I admire you. Changing careers late in the game, from lingerie to art dealer. And with so much going on, you haven't yet chosen between your living beau and ex-husband, but you always look good for both of them. And the smiting God, you know he never comes down to say, who do you think you are, Renata, stealing the lover of another? No, the smiting God, you know he never comes down to say, who do you think you are, Paloma, dressing like that and dressing like that? And the smiting God, you know he never comes down, and for that hour I don't hear him in my head, and I can briefly live sin vergüenza. I'm as sexy as mashed potatoes here in my sweats. I'm as threatening as conference room carpet. I'm busy as a blanket, but I'm getting some ideas. Maria Contreras, how I cried for days after the accident at the lake and the donation of your daughter's heart. You took an airplane to follow the man who got it, to be near her beating heart a little while longer. And the smiting God, you know he never came down to say, who do you think you are, Maria? You can't change the way things are. No, the smiting God, he didn't dare to come down, 'cause Maria knows exactly who she is, and if he did, she'd tell him right off in Spanish. No, the smiting God, you know he never comes down, and for that hour I don't hear him in my head.